Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So this is episode 10 of the Mum and Mama Pod with Amy Bullman and...
Harry Chapman.
She's not even said my name yet. She knows me far.
Angharad Chapman.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Angharad Chapman.
What is that? What is that? I don't know.
I can't do accents. Lola's good at accents.
Should I tell you?
She did.
Oh God. She?
She had to be an Australian. Have you seen the film Chopper?
Yeah.
With Eric Banner.
Yeah.
When she did her Australian accent, she sounded like Chopper. It was the funniest thing. She was just really aggressive and loud.
Oh, so that, God. Yeah,
that was for a school play. She had to be a surfer or something.
So my friend Palmer, yeah, he's got like the worst accents you have ever heard. And he does like, he tries his best, but everyone sounds exactly the same. And he's just put up, like, he does like little skits and little funny things that he puts up. And he's just done one recently. It's Isolation Indigit. And it just basically sounds like himself. Isolation Indigit. Because he's been travelling around. He just sounds like himself. But you ask him to do a Welsh one, sounds like himself. Chinese, sounds like... He can't do them. But no matter how much
it's
you
funny,
tell him, he just doesn't hear it. He thinks he's all that in a bag of chips.
Bless him.
Yeah, well, this is...
So, how are you?
I'm good. Well, this is episode 10. I can't believe we're still live on
air.
This is
episode 10. I know. It's crazy.
Isn't it good?
But this is our second part of our conversation with the lovely Saskia, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And we're...
our superstar.
Yeah, and you've obviously listened to episode 9, which is all about the work she does and how she does it. And this is slightly different because this is more on a personal level and her being a mum and how...
Yes.
How that came about, and that's really interesting.
It's
because
fascinating.
You know, I had IVF as well, so did Sasky. So it's quite a nice thing to hear about the two different ways of doing things. It's great, and it's funny.
Yeah.
It's a lot of funny things in there. And we're we really appreciate you, Sasky, for coming on. We're loving your work.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
check it out. See you on the other side.
Bye.
Work.
So I was just going to say, how did you get into the educating thing? Because obviously you're very well educated.
Educated.
So now you go around teaching.
Yeah, I do.
She's from Forest Gate.
I grew up on that side of life. Yeah, I got into being an inclusion trainer, LGBT+ inclusion trainer, through I started off as voluntary doing it, but it was purely out of conversation of saying that I'd always wanted to maybe do workshops in schools with young people.
Yeah.
And I started doing voluntary work originally around drugs and alcohol and supporting young people with issues around that. And I really loved that work.
Is that how you met Harry?
No. That was just another drug and alcohol feud night, another day.
Oh, okay.
No, I know Sasky through
my sister.
Penny. Now I've been like taken under the family wing, so I'm
she
quite happy in that respect.
Absolutely.
The firm, as I like to call them, the firm.
We
don't fucking mess with the firm.
Oh, follow. So... yeah, Harry's in the firm, she's in the firm, and we don't mess with Harry either. They're like, works both ways. Mm. We love her very much.
Works both ways.
Mm.
But I I guess from the educator side as well, you've got many hats, but your hat you haven't mentioned, because we haven't really touched on it, is the fact that you are mum to the wonderful George.
Oh, yeah, my little bubba.
You have a beautiful... Is he nine? He's nine now, isn't he?
He's 10. 10 in February he was.
10?
Yeah.
Jeez Louise.
It is the 10 going on 18.
Has he got attitude?
Yeah.
Has he got attitude?
But he starts
it.
He has, yeah. And it's funny because, I mean, you know, it's so funny because when you see other kids, that you'll know this growing up. I remember growing up and you see other kids and they seem to be misbehaving and doing whatever they're doing. And you're like, oh, God, my son's an angel. And then when it's your kid, you're like, fucking shut up. Don't want everyone else to see you fucking like that, doing like that. You know, you get so embarrassed. Oh, my God. But, you know, he's got this. He's just got to this.
Stop bribing them.
Yes.
Stop bribing them.
Or accidentally.
Like, seriously. I'll buy you a game if you shut up.
Yeah. Or now I just resorted to threatening him. I always go, oh, what's that sound, George? That's the sound of your Xbox smashing on the ground as I throw it out the window.
Oh, you know.
He's like, no, Mum, no. But, yeah, no, of course, you know, we love our kids. They have their bloody moments. But it's funny because it's kind of like he's reached 10 and his hormones have just gone into chaos. And he's like totally, he's lovely and fine in his first most of the time. But as soon as he goes into one of his little... sort of tantrums, if you like, he just, oh my God, I just have to shut the door on him sometimes. He's like, all right, George, you just need to go and take some time. Because I always one of two ways with me. I am a calm person, but when I go, I go, you know, it's like the Catherine reel, it's off, you know, and it's like, I do that, countdown, one, two, three, four, you know, that's counting up, actually. You said I was educated there, countdown, one, two, three, yeah, there we go, countdown.
Calm down.
You can't
calm down.
Exactly, yeah, calm down. Anyway, so I'll be like, George, you just need to have some time out, chill out. And then bless him, he shuts the door, we shut the door, and I'll get on with whatever I'm doing. And then he'll come out and he goes, oh, sorry, Mum, sorry. But what's cute, he started saying, he goes, Mum, I get so angry and I just don't know what to do about it. Like, and I said, it's just because your hormones and, you know, he goes, I said, you just got to, like, count to 10. I'm sitting there cursing him counting to 10. But I was like, just count to 10, you know. But I just said to try and, like, take a leaf out of my book. I'm like wringing his neck. But yeah,
so what's your story then with your situation then?
Did you have him?
No, I'm his non-biological mum. So
right.
So him and his other mum, obviously there can only be one having the child. But at the time, I always knew I needed to be a parent. I wanted to be a parent.
Shit, Sherlock.
Absolutely. But when you got two women, how'd you choose? Oh, fuck that. You can go first. I ain't ready for that. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yes. Did you have that? conversation?
Well, yeah. I mean, to be honest, we had the conversation of... we both knew we wanted to be parents. I knew I wanted to be a parent regardless. I mean, I can remember being little, and when you think of kids, and it's weird that I thought like this, actually, considering it was a young age to think like this, but I always thought I'd be a parent. I always knew I'd be a parent, but I always thought maybe it'd be around adopting a kid or something, you know, that kind of thing. Right. Like, I never envisaged going through pregnancy. But then when I was never against it, but that wasn't just the way I thought about. I just knew I'd be a parent or wanted to be a parent at some point.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even about being gay or anything. I can remember being sort of, I don't know, 11 or whatever, thinking that kind of thing. But going back to being two mums, so obviously, there can only be one at the time. Unless you both do it, I guess, at the time, you know, whatever. Anyway, digressing. She wanted to go. I just wasn't ready. I just knew that she really desperately wanted to go through pregnancy and go through the birth and that whole sort of, you know, journey. And I knew that I wanted to be a parent. And for me, blood, you know, it's not about that. It's nurture over nature for me anyway. I always thought so again she wanted to go first, and then it never really came round to my turn because we split up, so it never really came around to my turn. But I wasn't waiting for my turn. I wasn't waiting for my turn. You know, it just happened that, you know, along that journey.
Yeah.
But for George, you know, we're both his legal parents, and what I love is that we were lucky to, when we were starting the, you know, starting going through sort of treatments to, for his other mum to get pregnant, it was, we waited because we were waiting for the law to change for same-sex couples, so that it would mean that I would be on the birth certificate, because if we did it before that, it would mean that if I wanted to legally... have legal recognition as a parent, I would have had to have adopted him. And then you have to actually pay for that as well. So I was just like, oh, that's a bit shit.
So who would have been the other parent on the birth certificate then?
So no one would have
just not been anyone.
There just wouldn't have been, probably just been unknown, I guess.
That's ridiculous.
Like that. Yeah, but that was the law, you see. So it wasn't that, it wasn't recognised for same-sex couples. And I do know, you know, some couples now who have been together and had kids, and obviously one is the biological and legal parent, and where the other one has played a parental role in that child's life in every aspect of their life.
But if they,
but if they left, if they split up today, they wouldn't actually have any legal rights over that child, you know, if, because of those circumstances. So it's so we were lucky that, and I'm pleased we waited to do that. And it's nice for me because I love the fact that I'm on his birth certificate. I love that for me. It's such an important thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, again... So, oh, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, how did you have him? Did you... Was it someone you knew?
It was eBay.
Did you get the turkey base as well?
Well, this is it,
went on eBay.
We, you go, you have a delivery. We tried various... We tried various ways because, as I always say, we were cutting out the middleman, literally. So what could we do? So we bought our sperm. Yeah, we bought our sperm. And I always like the story. I think it's funny that I had my money, because it was expensive. It's a whole expensive thing, isn't it? I would have done a one-night stand if I could have, but we wouldn't have really got away with it. But
how much is sperm?
Well, it varies, but back in the day, I remember...
What varies on what? What varies on... Like, do you get graded sperm?
Listen, I freaking... It was hard enough picking a donor. Do you think I'm going doing a degree in sperm buying? I'm not in the business of buying and selling, like, regularly. But I can remember having a check.
They come with, like, a profile.
Yeah, like, here, you want to buy a watch? You want to buy some sperm here? Come and look this, check that. Yeah, I'm not that easy.
You think of the amount of spunk that must get wasted every second of every day.
Exactly, you go around wringing out tissues and all these old boobs. But I can remember, being, like I got this check for whiplash from a car accident, and I literally remember it was $2,500 or something like that. And I can remember.
No fee.
Yeah, no wind, no feet, no sperm. It was in our case, so we had this check, and it was literally holding like that, thinking, oh my god, for a second feeling like I've got money in my life, and then it was just like I've taken out of my hand by his other mum. Like, that's paying for the sperm. So we went to a sperm donor eventually, but we tried various other ways before.
What other ways did you try?
So. So we tried, I'm suddenly feeling naughty about this, but we tried, eventually he was born via IVF, but backing it up, we had the money. So originally we did try a fertility treatment known as IUI, and again, don't ask me what that stands for. Google it, people, if you're listening. I don't know. So we tried IUI. At the London Women's Clinic. And basically what that IUI was that they would take the wild sperm, and it would be professionally, medically ejected into, you know, the lady parts. So it would go into that.
With a water gun,
yeah, exactly.
With a Nerf gun.
I'll tell you, if it had gone in with the power of a Nerf gun, it probably might have stuck quicker the way this freaking thing was set up, you know, like it's like it was pushing it with the syringe. So and your legs are up past your knees or your eyes and that. But So we tried that a couple of times with the at the London Women's Clinic, and it was unsuccessful, and there was no fertility, you know, she didn't have any fertility issues per se. Again, as I say, it was just literally that was how he was doing it, cutting out the middleman. So but it was disheartening because it's every time you are doing it and it doesn't work, you know, there's so many things that the emotional side of it, the financial stress, everything that goes with it, you know. So it was really getting, it was putting quite a strain on our relationship and the finances. And for me as a singer at the time and working full time, I was literally doing like my full time job, lots of evening gigs. And there was, well, in fact, they were always in nightclubs, and the queer scene is 24/7. So you're not in a nightclub any day of the week. You know what I mean? So he's like, I was doing a lot of events and I was just knackered, basically. I was absolutely knackered. It was a stressful time. And then, you know, not getting the on the pregnancy test, not getting the positive each time. It's difficult. Yeah. Even if it wasn't me, my body, but it's me as the partner, me as still the parent wanting that, you know. So it put a lot of strain on that. So that's what we did. And then we thought we'd take a break from it because it was getting a bit too expensive and stressful. And we just thought we've told people, and everyone, bless them, wants to be supportive. And how are you doing? And did it work? And, you know, and then it's that, oh, I've got to make that call and tell people that it didn't quite work. And I can actually get goosebumps thinking about that, actually. But, yeah, it's just that feeling of, oh, didn't work. So we took a break from it. And then we'd moved into we bought a flat at the time. And the person doing up our flat was a bit of a handyman all round, you know, handyman, very lovely guy. But and we become quite friendly with him and his wife and their whole family. How friendly's friendly, you know. So we become friendly with them, and they knew our struggle, and they knew the situation and how hard it was for us, and you know, and yeah, they, bless them, very lovely. But they offered that, you know, his wife pretty much offered him up, to be honest, like, you know, on a serving plate, you know. She's like, yeah, we've talked about it, he'll do it, you know. But so basically they was offering the sperm for us, which was really lovely on one hand, but I'm so pleased, thank God, that it didn't work in the end doing that. So basically he did, you know, we signed sort of like a legal contract thing. He had his STI tests and everything and HIV, you know, to make sure that he was sort of clear. And then
did the transaction work then?
In a paper, brown paper bag. You just
did it come, like, did that put in a, like a passet, like, how did it work?
So yeah, it's quite funny actually, because we've tried. it was not CED, but in hindsight, it probably was a little bit weird. Well, it was absolutely weird because it was just a small one bedroom flat anyway, and it's like she'd be waiting in the bedroom, he'd go into the bathroom, and we thought, let's help this situation along. We and I didn't help the situation along, by the way. Let me just add that. But we thought, I know your mind wandered when I said, let's help this situation. Let's move things on here. Come on, whip them off. It was literally, we put, you know, some dirty mags for him. Like, you know, just do you want some dirty mags and a cup of tea? Would you like a cup of tea with that? You know. And then he'd go in the bathroom and he'd do his stuff. And it was the same bathroom he was doing up for us anyway. So hopefully he was in there looking, oh, I need to get fix that. I need to fix that and make sure that's screwed on properly. So he was doing that, and then you'd come out with it in the pot, and then I would with the do you know what, I don't want to sort of make part of this story up, but I don't know, I feel like we must have used the turkey baster, I can't remember, we definitely had some syringe type base, you know, something. I guess just to be stereotypical, I should say it was turkey baster. I feel like it was something like that, it must have been, you know. Well, that's what people use, isn't it, in those situations. Must have been,
that's
yeah.
Because
he has to go far in. There we go. So, you know, Christmas was cancelled for that cooking, for that dinner.
Yeah,
So we did it, but it stunk.
It can't be like a cow pole thing, can it? It has to be like
a cow pole. Yeah, 1.5, you know, 1.5 measurements of sperm to in accordance with the length. Yeah, a teaspoon and a half, depending on how old the child is. Oh shit, they're 12 over 12 five times, you know. So, but it smelled, the sperm stunk. Oh, I always remember being like,
disgusting.
I don't know if that's the usual smell for sperm. I don't know. It's not my bag. It's not my. It's not my remit. Does it usually smell that bad? I don't know.
Well, it's not bad. But
not bad.
I think, you know, look, bless this guy and this, you know, they were really trying to do us a very happy. And then she'd be up there with her legs up, you know, up against the wall. Have your legs up just to let all the sperm run down. And I don't know. It didn't work. And then we tried it a couple of times and it didn't work. But I'm absolutely...
You tried it a couple of times with him?
We tried it a couple of times with him and it didn't work. We may have, definitely at least twice we tried it, but it was just the fact that it was again, it's just such an emotional strain, the whole thing, But then what was happening also, we were running out of money financially, and I think we decided we didn't actually really want this guy to be part of it, even though he would not have played a parental role whatsoever. But we didn't want him to be part of that. So
it's awkward though, isn't it? Because you don't know how people will be after.
Yeah.
You don't want to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably for the best, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And then...
So how did it happen then?
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Yeah. So then luckily, you know, with these law changes for same-sex couples becoming parents, it meant that we then would have been part of the, depending on our postcode, again, a postcode lottery, which we luckily fell into, it was 3 free sessions for IVF. So we qualified for them. And then we went and did it that way. But we still, I say they were free. I'm sure we did pay towards it as well. There was definitely a lot of financial costs in that, in that whole process from start to finish, in the thousands.
God, yeah.
Yeah, as it is. So, yeah, so really you are thinking, we should have just fucking went on a night out, you know. We should have lesed it up in a straight bar. And then got some geezers to come down. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we've got John, Dave and Frank here and they're queuing up. You know, we should have done that. It would have been cheaper. We could have then celebrated in holiday in Barbados, but it didn't quite work out like that, you know. But
so how did you get, going back to the sort of sperm donor, how did that happen?
Yeah, so this is the other thing. So it was a funny little time, really. So whilst all these laws were changing for same-sex couples and for, you know, like me to be on the birth certificate and then us to be eligible for that financial funding for the IVF, there was also ID release, which came out for sperm donors. So originally we were looking at sperm donors again with the London Women's Clinic and like local London donors. But when that happened, there was just a massive shortage because it meant that when the child turns 18, they could potentially get access to the records to find out who the donor was if they wanted. And that caused a massive issue. And a massive shortage, so it meant that we then went to a different I can't even speak now. Too much talk of sperm. Jesus Christ, I'm not used to this.
To a sperm shop.
Yeah, we went online and Amazon. If you don't know, I've got sperm bank, and
they've got it on Amazon.
They probably have now. Now. 10 years later, they probably freaking have. But, we ended up going to a Danish sperm bank, which was so much better. I'm so pleased we did because, you know, it means that we've got our... we had so much more information about the donor, information about their medical history, information about their family medical history, both sides of the parent, you know, and also a picture of the donor when there was a baby. They had to put... What did they do? So they did like an interview, like an audio interview about why they wanted to do it. And then they also did a written, like not a report, like just a letter basically about why they wanted to do it, why they thought it was important.
Wow.
You know, so you got so much more information that you would, you know, hair, eyes, height, you know, from a UK donor. We got so much more.
So what do you get from
Well, why don't you don't get all that information then here?
You didn't get all that information. I mean, I don't know if it's changed now with the ID release. In what?
What information did you get?
He's Frank. He's a builder.
Yeah, he's behind you. He's jacking off behind you.
That's all you get. That's all you need.
He's your Uber driver. He's all round.
Don't talk about Uber drivers, Saskia.
Oh God, that's that.
Wow. So you got a good one. Did you go on looks or did you go on?
I think, you know, exactly. Health and looks. Well, it is that whole joke, isn't it, that, you know, when sperm donors, they're 6 foot models and they've got the IQ of, but this person apparently did, you know, they did have those things. I mean, you know, we don't know what he looks like.
He's a cute little bubba.
But I mean, he looks actually very much like his mum's side as well, and he looks very much like his uncle, his mum's brother. So you know, which, you know, he's an attractive guy. So there is that. But you can see, I think, every now and then, knowing what the baby picture of the donor looked like, when George was a little, around that kind of age, you could just see a little bit in his lips. Because it's Danish, so like I always joke, he's my little Danish bacon. But he's like, you know, he does have a little bit of, every now and then there's a little bit of Danish that, you know. But I see it because I know what the baby looks like, you know.
Does he know all this?
Yeah, he does. I mean, he don't know about the magazines and the sperm in the cup and the perky baster. He don't know that bit yet. He may, when he's older, I might tell him over a beer or something. But, he does know, and I think it's important that it wasn't never a taboo thing, because, you know, you always hear... But anyway, yeah, so he does know. He does know, and he... but it's obviously been, you know, age-appropriate, what is important for him to know, and just that, so he... Because, you know, he's asking questions about why have I got two mums, and now, obviously, with his other mum, when we split up, and we, you know, we had different partners afterwards, but his other mum is now married to... a guy. So when he was growing up, which is, you know, that's fine, that is what it is, but when he was growing up, then he's got his two mums, then he's got a dad who's a stepdad, and you know, and I think when they're blended families, especially you've got two mums as well, I want him to be confident and empowered in who he is, and knowing that he's equipped for any little shit that tries to say something about, you know, you're a donor baby, and so he's like, yeah, and what, you fucking prick, you know, or whatever, when he's older, you know, I want him to feel confident, you know, in that. Or if he listens to him, his granddad will just probably knock him out. But
So how does it work then? With how old was he when you split up?
He was about coming up to two. He was actually quite young when we split up. Maybe just before that actually. But you know, I always think about it was young when we when. It, he was young when we split up, but our relationship was in ruins way before that, purely for many reasons. But obviously the stress of the IVF, we'd bought a house in that mortgage and stuff, lots of financial strain. And it does have an impact on your relationship, even on a sexual, you know, sexual level and stuff. But there was an accumulative of things as to why, and it meant that we were literally arguing much more than we were ever happy together. We was on different levels completely. So he was younger. So as much as no one, you know, you'd like to live the, you know, have the white picket fence and the happy ever after. But I always believe, even though it has been a massive journey since, I would always believe that I never ever want to stick in anything that wasn't right for the sake of my kids. And I would never say that for my kids either. I think it's important that you see that growing with kids growing up, they can see their kids, that their families or their parents rather, are not happy. And I can remember George, me and his other mum was arguing, and I can remember him being little, and he was running from one sofa to the other because we were so caught up in an argument, and I clocked it, and I was like, oh my God, this can't be that for him, or for us. Yeah. It was testament to this is not working. So, you know, like I say, been a journey, but I would definitely, I would do it.
So how often do you get to see George then?
So now I see him, and I say now, this has been like for the last 5 years or so now. I see him every other week, every other weekend. We split the school holidays and the half term. So the half terms we'll share the week, half the week each. Although it's coming up to May half term, so I get a full week in that week. And then on the summer holidays, I'll get 2 weeks out of the six. Which, you know, everyone always says, oh, you know, for separated parents, that's great. But it's never for me. I always miss him. Yeah. And I, you know, don't get me wrong, you just have adjust to a different lifestyle, don't you? And I like the fact that I can go out and party and do what I want in those days when I don't have him.
But yeah.
Ultimately, I miss him all the time. Yeah. I hate that. You know, again, it's another show, but the fact that he does spend the majority of time with his other mum and their partner, and you know, the partner, that's hard for me as a parent. Even though I'm pleased, ultimately they are very good to my son, because that's the primary, you know, the most important thing. But it's hard that I miss out on a lot. I've had to sacrifice a lot because of the separation. But ultimately, what that would have meant if we stayed together, we would have hated each other. We'd have been depressed and unhappy. And now I have a great, you know, lovely relationship with my son. He has a great relationship with both sides, both parents. And he is a happy kid. And that's important to me. Do you know what I mean? So,
how did you get to the agreement of how often you would have him?
So it was... You ain't got enough time, love. Jesus Christ. Ultimately...
I think this is going to be two podcasts, so...
Yeah.
Split it up.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I mean, it was horrible, actually, and it went through court, and it was dragged through...
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah, it was dragged through court twice. We had two big court cases... I had to fight tooth and nail, if I'm honest, to stay in his life. And even, you know, you think after the first time, considering I am on the birth certificate and I do have full parental rights, but really, I think there's such a big, massive loopholes in the system and the family courts, because I kind of came away from that whole process feeling like, you know, it felt like, it was almost a bit of a conspiracy for them just wanting money out of us in the end. It was just so ridiculous, you know, how it happened. But, yeah, two court cases. So I've had to get a court order in place to say that I have this time regularly with him.
Terrible.
Yeah, I know. My film asked my pockets, my bank account. I'm still recovering.
Yeah. And I know as well. So, obviously, I've been Tusky for quite a while, so... The last one was pretty horrific, I think.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
So why two? Could you talk about it?
Yeah, I mean...
Or would you rather...
No, I don't mind. I'm happy to talk about it. And I don't ever like to talk about it in a woe me, actually. But I talk about it in a sense of, yeah, I mean, it has massively affected me. And I would say that I did suffer and have still got, there is some sort of post-traumatic stress that has come with that.
Yeah.
And I've had therapy and stuff over the years as a result of that as part of things. But I think, it just ended up being that it was... The first time round, we split up, and I think like any couples, especially when there are kids involved, you know, I remember clear as day, I was splitting up, and then the conversation was, you know, we don't want to be at our son's wedding and him being uncomfortable on his wedding day, and we're killing each other, and you know that we don't want to be those separated parents. We need to make sure that we're amicable and everything else. And it was like, okay, thank God, and this is going to be okay. And then literally it just went downhill, because I think then when you split up with someone and they're, even if they know that it's not right, I think when they feel like you left them, it's that you left me syndrome and you're going to pay. And it kind of felt a bit like that.
I'm going to make it really tricky for you, basically.
And as a parent, you know, and as lesbian parents, I think as well, I mean, not just because of that, but for any parents, but it felt like we went from, we were two equal parents, we were two equal mums to... No, you're not a mum, you're not as good a mum, or you're not, you know what I mean? Like I went absolutely down the pecking order to feel like actually I wasn't even really acknowledged as a mum. It was almost a bit like I was a carer. And you know what, again, I have to be careful what I say, but I do think it's so cheeky but funny that at one stage I met our neighbours in the pub. About a year later, and they said, oh, what happened? You just moved off and everything else. And they said, oh, so you're the nanny? And I was like, no. And I was like, I'm not the nanny, I'm his other mum. And they was like, well, that's not what she told us. She told us she was the... So that was so... And I was like, fucking hell. And I mean, and you can imagine this is the beginnings. This is the beginnings.
Oh, my God.
So,
so
you say
that was the first one. So the first one was literally just so you could see him.
So basically the first court was, with court you have to go through, you have to try various, you know, like mediation. You have to see if you can talk it through and come to an agreement. And then you have to go to mediation. And if you don't go to mediation, well, you can't go to court until you go to mediation, basically. So we went to mediation and there was no agreement on mediation. And then so we had to go to court. And it was actually the mediator that said, because there was just no room for, you know, the other side to agree on anything. And the mediator actually said to me, you know what, I think I'm going to have to advise you now that I would say your next step could only be really going to court and get yourself a solicitor. Because there was just nothing, there was just nothing there for me. And it was difficult because we moved, we had our flat, but we'd moved to a house to rent. And when I moved out, I moved sort of like 20 minutes away and just like stayed at a friend's house for a house just so I could still see my son and do that share care. Because the other part of it was, you know, we'd split up and we was going through all this, but when she was on maternity leave, when she went back, we both went part-time so that we could, you know, have shared care to look after him. So we both kind of went part-time. And so all that was still there. But then, it, you know, as it progressed, it, it was just like, you know, I think anger kicks in and, you know, a new parent as well. Then I understand on her part there would have been the worry of, I'm going to be a single parent and this A, B and C. But I never left her in the lurch by no means. You know, I continued paying all the share of the bills, if not more, and the rent and whatever else we did for a good 6 months. And even in that time, the only reason why I stopped doing it was because I financially was flat on my feet. I had nothing. And also she'd got another partner, I'd got another partner, and it was a bit like, hang on, she'd then moved into another house, and it was a bit, now I'm not going to continue paying it now because we both need to now figure out how we're both going to maintain this for our son and support him together. So it changed like that. But that was the first time. So then the first time was, it was, we went to court and we had to get the court order. But it's still a horrible thing because you still have to prove, you have to prove yourself as a parent. And I remember one question that really got to me was from the judge was, I remember them saying, it was almost like they asked the other mum. The other mum would be taking him away on holiday, you know, family holidays or with friends and doing whatever they were doing. And then I literally had to try and prove myself in court to say, you know, the judge was like, oh, well, can you look after him if you took him? I was taking, wanted to take him to fucking Butlins, it was. You know, can you look after him? And it was like, who will you be going with? And I was like, I was going to go with my mum and my sister at the time, you know, little family holiday. But no, I remember thinking,
anyway.
Yeah, I was like, why do I have to justify it? All of a sudden I'm not a parent? Yeah. I'm not a capable parent because we're not together. And there was, you know.
And I'm on the birth certificate as well. I'm his parent. I'm his mum on the birth certificate. So it kind of feels you feeling like you've got no rights anyway.
Exactly. So it was almost, you know, that feeling of constantly trying to prove yourself and prove your worth when you haven't actually done anything in the first place to suggest anything different apart from you split up, you know. So,
yeah,
that was that.
So I want to kind of, I know we're going to wrap this up in a bit, but I just want to go to something that you do that's, I think, quite important. So you're quite heavily involved in Diva, aren't you?
Oh, yes. So Diva magazine. Yeah. I mean, I do.
Diva.
Yes. How heavily involved? It sounds dodgy, couldn't it?
Well, I only know this, Amy, because literally Saski's social calendar was probably jam-packed from January to December every single year. She'd have a celebrity outing event. She'd be going to the Ivy, the Dorchester. Honestly, I have never known anything like it. The lesbians, the LGBTQ+, community.
Get it in.
They get out and they get ready and they get on it. You're out there.
That's it.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Diva.
What is Diva?
Well, Amy probably doesn't know about it.
Yeah, no. Well, Diva magazine. They are the biggest lesbian and bi women's magazine in Europe and UK. And I mean, yeah, in terms of being heavily involved, I'm friendly with the good friend of the publisher, Linda Riley. Give a shout out to Linda, who you know. Yeah, she's a good friend. She's also you know, she's in the public eye in terms of like her visibility. You know, she's an activist. She's someone who really does speak out for the community as well. And I do look up to her and respect her in that respect, because she's you know, she's someone who, you know, she's got a finger on the pulse with all these different, what, you know, even within politically, what people should and shouldn't be doing, and she'll call people out and when she needs to, and that I respect her for that. But yeah, but the events are fun. So often, if I work for the, if I'm not attending them as a guest, which is always fun because you get nice, like, you know, it's nice socializing, isn't it? Having your dinners, nice little posh dinner, you know what I mean? Like, get napkin and all that.
Saski gets basically shit faced and comes rolling in at 4 a.m. in the morning.
It has been known. But also, I do sometimes I'll do interviewing. So if they have award ceremonies, so for instance, maybe like the Diva Awards, you know, I've done sort of interviewing for the winners. After who and what they've won and talk to them about that. Or I do now at the moment, there's a lot of online stuff that I've been supporting them with. So interviewing interviewing for Lesbian Women's Visibility Day or Women's Visibility Week. And just a mixture of things, really. I just do a few bits, you know.
And you've been on the old BBC as well, haven't you, love?
He's made me laugh. I have. I've been on the news, respectably been on the news, not for the wrong reasons. Not Crime Watch. I just, the truth is, I just haven't been caught yet. That's it. But I was on the news, and that was last year. That was about representing Pride and why Pride's important, and hate crime, and what, you know, what people would need to do to, you know, still but it makes sure that we're not through it yet. You know, people get complacent to think that we've got equal marriage and we've got the Equality Act, but actually hate crime for the LGBTQ plus community is one of the highest rates of crimes, you know, and discrimination. So yeah, talking about that and then radio stuff and that.
Is that coming into schools this year?
Yeah, it is LGBTQ plus inclusive curriculum. Yeah. So this was another thing that I this was another time I was on BBC, darlings. Yeah, and the only time, and then it did really go to Crime Watch. But it was the Victoria Derbyshire and it was Victoria Derbyshire's show talking about pro and against an LGBT plus inclusive education. So it was around the time for the protests that were happening.
I remember that.
Yeah. So
not happened. You, sorry.
No. Yeah, not my show, thank you.
It'd be the parents were protesting. Okay, so is it going to be law now that they are doing it?
So it's coming into place in September and it has to be, it's an integral part of the curriculum.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, really good, really good. But I mean, the problem is, I mean, it's slightly different. It's different, actually, because they're not really in school, are they, because of the COVID setup. But it's just about making sure, because quite often, even with laws, and we've seen this happening with our community, about how laws get passed, you know, under the radar.
Yes.
That really support us, our community. And it's about, even though they won't change that, because it's already in place, but it could just get missed off a bit because it's not a priority.
Yeah.
Whereas just
it's not on their agenda to push it through.
Yeah, exactly. So,
what ages do you teach? Is it all ages?
Yeah, so I do workshops from like nursery up to adulthood. You know, depending on what, and obviously it's all different, the age appropriate. I mean, nursery is more about you know, just understanding about respecting each other and that we're all different in different families and what two mums might look like in a family. And some people have one mum, some people live with their grandparents, people from different cultures, races, religions. So it's all about the, you know, encompassing all you know, parts
of society. I remember, so my son is particularly fond of Auntie Saskia.
Because I bring him sweets all the time. That's why I was. He dumped me.
Exactly. Sweets and blooming. What are they called? Super things.
Oh, super things.
I can remember him going like, "I want to have two mums." I was like, "Oh, really? Which other mum would you want to have?" And he went, "I want you and I want Auntie Jo." Oh, well, Auntie Saskia, you know, she's something else. And I was like, right, okay. It's like the sit down kind of conversation, but he was like, "I just want two mums." But I mean, like really seriously, you've kind of done some work with Idris, and it was very subtle. It was very age appropriate, as you say, and it was all about, you know, sort of respecting people, respecting your friends in that situation where if another child or another friend wants to play with, say, a doll or something pink, that you just kind of allow it to happen. And I've noticed a big change in Idris, because he's not as boisterous in that manner as he probably was before. Like, he's not afraid to say that he likes pink sweets. He likes, you know, he likes, if you ask him what paper to draw on, he'll draw on pink paper. He doesn't associate pink as being a boy and it's negative to like it because I'm a boy. He sees it as quite a positive thing, and I think that's something that you definitely did for him.
I'm pleased. That's
I think it's really important to say that it's a positive move forward. It's a positive move forward for children and their parents, because that's where the change starts.
Yeah, that's it, absolutely. And I think you know, the worry or concern for many parents was, you know, when we think about, because of the way the media portrays our community quite often, you know, there's a lot of negative press, and particularly around transgender kids and the medical process. And, you know, the media will have you believe that if a young transgender kid tells you they're transgender, that it within, you know, a bit like almost like a Wonder Woman set up, they'll go whizzed around in the air, and the next thing they've had the surgery and they've become a girl or they've become a boy, you know, they've transitioned. And, you know, there is that kind of negative press that our community have had for a long time. So the fear and the association with LGBT and sex, parents assume straight away that when you're talking about that in school in an educational setting, that that was like what we'd be talking about. And it really is like, you know, like what you say, it's about breaking down those gender stereotypes to show, for, especially for the younger kids, to show that it's, you know, toys are toys and toys are for everyone. Yeah. You know, and that's pretty much it. That's it. So it's about, you know, if you want
to
play with...
Totally. We used to dress up as tomboys, or we used to climb trees, or, you know, if I was to wear a, you know, Fireman Sam outfit, would anybody have any problem with that? Probably not.
Well, because it's Fireman Sam, but...
boy wants to wear a dress or an Elsa dress, there's a, you know, like, there's a major issue and a major problem. And it's that I have always felt that's like bonkers. It sounds
not fair.
It isn't. And it does, and it's like how you bring your children up, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But do you know what's bloody funny and annoying at the same time is that with my son, I mean, he knows, he probably gets sick of me talking about LGBT plus all the time. He's like, I know, Mum, I know. you know, because I was like, does that look like equality to you, George? Does it? And he's like, yeah, Mum. But, you know, like, I, for years, in fact, last summer, I love getting him little clothes and his tops and all that and whatever, you know, his shorts and that. And then I bought him these really cool, like, chino shorts, pink chino shorts, and they looked so good. And I was like, and I knew that he would just not fucking want to wear them because he's just got this thing about it. And so what I did, I tried to, like, sneak in a shark T-shirt, and I was like, oh, look at this shark T-shirt, George, it's so cool. I was like, oh, yeah.
Look at those pictures.
Yeah. And he was like, he put the shark T-shirt. I was like, look at that shark, so cool. I was like, yeah, shove them on and all, like, yeah, put them on like that, just like trying, like you know, secretly push it in. And then he just looked at me and was like, no, Mum. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, no, Mum. And then he, bless him though, I said, George, what is the problem? I said, pink is cool. I said, gosh, you know, like, your uncles wear pink, your granddad, it's so cool, it's like a trendy. I said, don't you want to look cool? And he was like, and he just hung his head down and he was like, Mum, I'm not being racist to LGBT, but I just don't like pink. That's what I said. And I thought, bless him, because he's got the two kind of discriminations mixed up, but he knew his heart was, I'm not disrespecting anything. I just don't want to wear pink.
It's all right. Idris will have them.
Yeah, well, I think I've probably been putting his little pile for Idris. But yeah, so yeah. But it is, yeah, just making those little changes for kids to know that, you know, because you talk about tomboys, we don't have a word for tom girls because it's not in the English language or any real language.
True.
And if so, therefore, when boys do want to express themselves and wear clothes that they like a dress or whatever, or, you know, makeup, or, you know, they are they're demonized and they're ridiculed and they're gay or they're told they're gay or you know, it's wrong. And that's the problem. It's double standards, isn't it? And it's sexist as well in a lot of ways.
It is. I always say to the girls, like, when they were little, I used to buy them boys' clothes. If I liked a boy's T-shirt or a boy's in, you know, inverted commas, they can wear whatever they want. But if they were boys, I wouldn't be able to... Well, obviously, I could go and get them a dress, but it's completely different, isn't it? Girls can wear whatever they want.
They can. But
boys can't.
And they can't.
It's not fair.
Yeah, it is crappy. I mean, and clothes lines are changing. They're making stuff more gender neutral now for kids. And you'll see, like, in a lot of... like department stores, they're doing clothes, they're just their, like, children's section. I think even Disney have pioneered that, actually, so they've been good for that in a lot of ways. But, yeah, it is just really about that. It's not that all boys are going to run out and put a dress on, or, you know, that's not the case at all, but the point is letting kids understand that if they do feel comfortable, if your friend in school then feels they want to wear, the boy wants to wear the Elsa dress, or the girl wants to wear the Spider-Man costume, then they shouldn't be teased for it. It should be okay. And then it's helping kids understand.
It shouldn't matter.
So I remember in Fuller's Nursery, where Idris went, there was, it's kind of about, there's about five mums who I'm still really close with, and
Donna and Holly, who run the nursery. But all the little boys, like Ted, Ollie, Idris, Jack, they were all fighting for the Elsa dresses. But there was only, like, one Elsa dress. So my friend Sasha, she was Ted and Ollie's mum. She went out and bought three more Elsa dresses so that the boys could wear them.
And it wasn't a problem.
It wasn't a problem to Donna and Holly. They just, come on, get them in, get them on. And it was quite like it was cool. It was fine.
Yeah.
But it was a nice way of everybody just accepting. The kids wanted to wear Elsa dresses. The boys wanted to wear Elsa dresses. The girls wanted to. And then all of a sudden they didn't. They were fine wearing, Fireman Sam. But it was like a choice that they made.
Exactly.
That's really quite key, I think.
Exactly, and that's the thing, just to say on that as well, is that kids wear what is they are attracted to, or they'll play with toys that they're attracted to naturally. It's not nothing, it'll never be a forced thing, really. You know, it's just like they are into that or they're not. When they've got that freedom to just do and play with what they want, because traditionally, quite often it was, oh, no, that's not for you, that's for the girls, and that's for the boys, and, and the pinks and the blues. And so when it is, and nurseries, to be fair, that is a great, Fuller's nursery is a great nursery as well.
Yeah.
But, they are much more aware of that now, so that they are introducing it a lot more. But unfortunately, still surprisingly, there's still a lot that needs to be done with schools when I go in and think, oh, God, it's only little things, let's just do this.
Basically, so just finishing off then.
Oh, said the nun to the vicar.
So obviously you've done quite a lot in your career, you've done quite a lot in your life, but what would you say is the single most sort of wow moment that you've ever had in your career as any of the things that you've ever been? What's the one thing you could really think, do you know what, I've really made a difference?
Ooh.
Coming on this podcast,
obviously. It was on the tip of my tongue. Amy, you just took it, put the words out of my mouth. You know what? I tell you what, I love this work that I do in schools. I know that's fundamentally what is going to make a difference to people. But in terms of my career, as you know, the stuff I do for Saski and that brand. Last year, I had the privilege of what we call the Triple Three, which was where I was hosting for London Pride or Pride in London on three of their stages. So they have the march, which I was on the podium for, and I was as the parade goes along, you kind of do the commentary and you chat, to all the parade, and you get, just get the crowd going. So I had the privilege of doing that, and then from there on to. Going to Trafalgar Square, which was over 20,000 people, to be on stage and do some hosting on that stage, and as a lesbian, a London girl, to be out and on stage in Trafalgar Square hosting, and that was a really amazing time for me, and I did actually, I mean, I only had, you literally, because there's so many things going on, I had probably about 10 minutes on stage. And I don't know where it came from. Out of my mouth come this kind of speech, this speech about, I was meant to be going, oh, you're right, let's give it up, the crowd, and all that shit. But I don't know, I just become like, as if it was the Queen's speech, and to all those queers, be strong, be powerful, be you, and it just, but it was just a real moment for me. And I was like shitting my pants, nervous, but I couldn't stop the words coming out of my mouth at the same time. So that was a real moment. And then the final part of that day was then hosting in Leicester Square on the women's stage. And again, that was another big part of Pride as well. That was really something that I really loved that.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Can we come?
You can come this year. No one's going to be there.
When you said the Triple Three, I wondered what you were going to say.
And then that night, the Triple Three continued.
Triple Threat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
it's
been absolutely amazing.
It's been lovely
to chat to you and to find out lots about your life. I mean, I know you very well, but it's still, you still fascinate me. I still listen to you for hours. You fascinate me. I think you're a wonderful human being, and it's great to see somebody like you who's on the forefront and to be really viewed as somebody that's going to kind of forge ahead and really make a positive impact. So I think you're wicked.
Well done you. And hopefully I'll get to meet you again
with a drink. We'll meet again. I go back to my speech days. We'll meet again.
Amy only drinks water. She don't drink.
I'm off the booze now.
Oh god, I can't wait to have a drink tomorrow.
Sorry.
I'm not even going to start on Saskia's inappropriate parenting moment.
Yeah, I think
don't do it now at the end of the podcast, the parenting podcast. And the final cut is she's a terrible drunk parent. That's it. Oh shit.
Thank you very much, Saskia.
Yeah,
thank you
so
much.
Thank you, lovely ladies. Love you guys. Thank you, bye.
Do you remember that kids' TV programme with the face, with the really long nose?
Yeah, is that what I look like?
And it was awful. Like, it was really scary, but I don't think it was meant to be scary.
Do you know what?
You look beautiful.
I don't. I look fucking hideously. Like, my mum sent me, bless her. Because of my skin, yeah? And like,
yeah.
I feel like my skin...
Balaclava?
Yeah, no. My skin's changing. I think it's age, isn't it? Because you know my mum's like a spa. She's bought me a whole.
Oh,
so expensive, but she sent it to me today.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. Is it good?
Oh, a spa stuff. You don't...
I've never. I'm not posh. I don't get the posh stuff.
It's all natural.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
But it's brilliant. It's really good shit.
Oh, that's nice.
It's really good shit. But yeah.
So that was our. That was off the end of our lovely chat with Saskia.
I know.
And a fascinating story about how little George came about.
I know, and how the sperm donors and where she got them. Oh, I mean, it's just fascinating, isn't it? I find it hilarious.
It is fascinating. It is.
And I love the way she tells it. I love the way she tells the whole story and the positivity and the comedy and the... It's like reading a book.
She's wicked.
Yeah.
She's very good. She's very entertaining. You can completely see why she does what job she does.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? She's you really want to listen to her.
Yeah. She's very positive as well. That's one of the things I love about her is she is such a positive person. And there's been some real challenges that she's overcome, but she doesn't. She's very resilient. And that's lovely to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, big up, Saskia. Big up.
Yeah, thank you. And as always, any questions? Do you want to discuss anything? Get in touch with us. Mum and Mama Pod. We're on all the socials. Subscribe.
If you want to know when Amy's period is or how her boobs are doing, you know, you can always, you could do that as well. It's not a problem.
You can always find out.
Yeah.
It depends where the moon is.
The moon. Your moon.
Your moon.
Lovely, thank you.
And next week, we'll have another exciting episode about something else, won't we?
Yeah. Amy the Taskmaster.
We don't know what yet.
Amy the Taskmaster.
But it will be good.
It will be.
One thing we know is it will be good.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be.
And also, by now, you would have, we would have, we were on the Hardcore Listening podcast. That would have come out. So if you've not listened to that, listen to that because that is hilarious. They're so funny.
You in the Teletubbies.
Yeah. They're good boys.
They are. And we'll put a picture up as well. We'll put a picture up of Amy because she did a fabulous job, I think. Amazing job.
Oh, and the quiz would have come out as well, wouldn't it? Yeah. So on YouTube, if you go to Scroobius Pip's YouTube and search distraction quiz, there's going to be two quizzes on there that are really good.
Yeah.
So you can play along at any time.
Yeah.
And they're good fun.
And we're famous. We'll be famous.
Yeah, we will. One day, love. We will be famous.
One day.
I've always said that on my 50th birthday, I want to be on a yacht somewhere.
Okay. We've got
So we've got 8 years.
We've got to shed load of podcasts. You might have to get a fans only page as well.
Yes, I'm up for anything.
All right.
Not my own yacht, someone else's. Oh, okay. But I just want to be, you know, in that world.
All right.
Yeah.
You put it out in the universe. It's going to happen, love.
Exactly.
It's going to happen.
Exactly.
We're going to make it happen.
We're going to make it happen.
All right.
All right. Well, have a lovely week.
And you, darling, take care. Have a nice week, everybody. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.